I think we're getting so much repeat customers now that I really don't sort of chase new clients anymore. Yeah.
I'm here with Adam Bestwick from Next Level Joinery, trade qualified builder, Master Joiners 2021. First Instagram post 2018 September. You're up to 4,000 followers now. Good shit. Big operation you got downstairs. A few guys in the office upstairs up here. For the future viewers, the most important thing here, what's with the spaceship on the desk? Are you trying to compete with Elon Musk or?
Oh, we're here to go for the moon, so yeah. Want to have some inspiration.
Yeah, good stuff. And company culture as well. So. Yeah, thanks for letting me have some time with you today. Obviously, you're pretty active on the gram. You run a solid business, and just love talking to guys that are doing good shit. And want to go around that. Vision board here. Explain that. Do you guys update that often? How does that kind of come about?
Basically, it started with all the lean manufacturing that we were doing. So we actually had a consultant come through and. Right. Teach us and show us the process and everything, and his goal was to do himself out of a job so that we continue on without the need for him. And then from there, it's just about keeping it transparent. So the only way, you know, with the mind being a bit of a storm sometimes, the only way to really do it is just to put it up on the wall, get it up in lights, and have everyone look at it.
Yeah, manifest, eh? What is your background and how did you sort of get into joinery? Obviously trade qualified builder, and then how did you transition and niche into joinery?
The short version is basically left high school straight into a joinery apprenticeship back when I was 16, and then did that straight into OE as soon as I got qualified.
Where'd you go?
3 years in Aussie and then 3 years in UK, Europe. And then met my wife, came back to NZ, and basically started building the moment I got back, because I'd done such a wide variety of jobs since I'd left. I didn't just leave and do joinery, I did like anything construction related. So then came back, did my building apprenticeship, was running crews, LBP license, and then eventually it was should I become a builder or should I do something else?
Niche down,
sort of joinery was calling, really.
Just
to have a workshop and have good machinery, like I spend a lot of time on site, and I remember the rainy days and the hard times, and,
niggly.
and not having nice gear and stuff, and I just really want to have nice gear and do nice work and
all
that sort of thing.
How did you like pick joinery? Was it through, like, did you just do like one window job as a builder? Did you just get asked to do it? Because I'm always like, people ask me, how did you first get into QSing? I'd obviously done it through our company, but was it something that you'd done through a building job?
Or? Well, I was a joiner, so I know how to make the stuff.
And
I have... In my past, I have set up some joinery shops, worked with mates in the starting processes and stuff. So I'd actually had experience with starting like an early day joinery shops, and about three of them. So that gave me a little bit of confidence. And all you really need to do is find the work and get going. So after sort of get a couple of jobs, you go, okay, sweet, let's go balls deep and get into it. So
bit of a sexual turn there. That's always good for tradies. When you were in Aussie in the UK, was that building related or joinery work?
Did joinery, and then did a bit of house relocation stuff as well, as something different. And I even came back to New Zealand, did about a year of that.
Yeah.
So all in all, I only did about a year of house relocating. But that was, it's probably lower pay, but just really, really good fun for the time, especially being a young fella, and keeps you fit, and you know, we're up to all sorts.
Yeah, 100%. Going on your first joinery job, did that come through? Obviously, Instagram might have not been around then for you, but how did you get your first job? And then how did you start? Like, what was your goals behind marketing your first job and Instagram?
Oh, there's probably a lot in there.
How'd you get your first one?
First jobs was the person I was working for. He had three jobs ready to roll.
Sweet.
And then a contact through him had another guy. And during that process, we signed up our fourth job. And that was easy. We did all of that work and then came to a screaming halt because I did no marketing. Because that's what you do, right? In the early days, I literally printed off suburbs of Auckland.
Yeah, nice.
And I drove every street and I went on to every building site and I went, hey, my name's Adam, I do joinery.
Yeah,
get
yeah.
some joinery off me.
Easy as
and
that.
And there are a lot of losses.
Yeah.
Well, not losses, but there are a lot of no's.
Mm.
And every now and again there was a yes.
Yeah.
And then in the first 6 months I secured about 600k worth of doors and windows.
Just from?
From two jobs.
Driving around.
Two jobs I got 600k's worth yep. Of two big jobs.
Just door knocking, eh?
And then we realised we couldn't actually do it in the workshop that we're in. So within the first 9 months, we moved to this place here.
Yeah, and you've been here ever since?
Been here ever since, yeah.
Because that's a question we get heaps is obviously, how do you get your first job and workflow coming in? So, I mean, between your first job and your second job, was there like a horrible 3 week
yes.
delay?
Yes. Starting is hard. It's
yeah.
very hard. And I don't think anyone will know how hard it is until you go through it yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's what they say, there are massive lows, and when there are lows, that's literally where you do the yeah. most hustle, the most grind, you work your ass off, and
yep.
you just get it done.
Do you enjoy sales, or do you get anxiety from it?
Both. yeah, like, it's hard, right? Like, I'm not a natural speaker or anything. Like, I totally get nervous doing all that sort of stuff. It must be getting easier because I think about it a lot less, so I'll just say that, but... I definitely like the chase, and I do actually generally like winning a really good job with a really good client that I know we're going to absolutely knock out the park and be really genuine with it as well. I think that to me is the most solid win I could ever have.
Yeah. I feel like a common thing in building is obviously big building jobs, and I've seen heaps of your clients that they're probably, you know, on jobs for 6 months to a year.
Yep.
Maintaining a relationship with a client can be fucking hard work. You're kind of...
Yep.
In and out.
Yes, but like only recently we've had very, very consistent large jobs where they are running over long time spans. But regardless, like Auckland's a small place. Like, I want to have that relationship through them for years and years and years on multiple jobs. So lasting the distance over 6 months really should be easy. And if it's not easy, well then there's your problem. So we try and keep it as easy as we can, even over those long durations, because We want to be consistent. We want to be doing your next job and the jobs after that. And we want to be your number one joiner that you rely on.
So. Yeah. From like a new business perspective, say obviously your jobs, one job might take you a month or a couple months. How do you manage, like what's your percentage between existing clientele and new clientele? Like how many new clients are you getting, say on a monthly basis?
Oh, well.
Ballpark, just for...
I think we're getting so much repeat customers now that I really don't sort of chase new clients anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it would be quite high for repeat customers because most of the people that use us become repeat.
Keep coming back.
We definitely have huge amounts of people like getting us to price stuff and all that.
Yeah.
But I would say the people who are using us are a little bit less and less, mainly because, you know, trying to get our lead time in and that sort of thing. Once I get our first job in with people, I know that we're rolling off that.
You keep coming back.
I think actually getting the first job done is probably the hardest part, and then it just rolls a lot easier after that. Once they know us, we know them, you know, that it's a lot easier.
Yeah. I know.
Just interrupt one second. I think your mic's flipped over there. Have it facing up.
Is that okay?
Oh, you're good. Yeah. It's just what happens. It's just they flop down on the t-shirts.
Cool.
They
look good.
Yeah.
Builders are obviously, this whole quoting for free, I don't know if I sent you that quote pack, is something I fucked around with a little bit with trying to get clients to pay for quotes. Do you have like a same process in your business for builders? Like obviously if it's an existing customer, happy days. New customers, do you have like a process on how you deal with those?
Oh, we quote it for everyone.
Yeah.
It's probably not the way it should be or the way I want to, but it is the market, and it is, you know, if you're doing what we're doing, that's hustling to increase what we are capable of, we are willing to quote whatever comes our way.
Yeah.
I've got another QS on board, so it's not me doing the pricing anymore. It was in the very early days, but it's gotten a lot more dialed since then. So we're fairly happy with knowing what we can price. We're getting better at saying, just no, that's not us. And that's probably the best thing, is just going, hey, that's not a job that would be sort of in our range.
Yeah. I think with Tim Majorney, like obviously, I mean, we would probably use, no offense to Tim Majorney, but we would probably use one in every five jobs to be a Tim Majorney job. Most of it's...
Tim Majorney is 3% of the market.
Yeah, crazy.
So there you go. Yeah.
So I feel like you're almost not selling when people come to inquire with you, if it's so niche. And do you find you have a lot of competition?
In joinery or
in your timber niche, you're in a very specific niche.
Yeah, definitely. There's always competition, especially within a niche. So yeah. There's other niche guys out there who are gunning for it.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, they've been around a very long time, and here we are trying to rustle the feathers. You know.
Yeah.
So, and we've been doing that quite successfully for a while.
Yeah. Nice.
So, it is a very established industry. So it's not something that's just sprung up or anything.
Yeah.
But it is definitely somewhere where I saw an opportunity and thought, fuck, let's go.
Well, I just feel like anyone getting timber joinery is, it's either a high-end renovation or a brand new building people got. Because for a stacker, you're looking at double the cost. Like $6,500 for aluminium, timber's $12,000 easy, eh?
Yeah, definitely. I find that I'm trying to compete. Well, my attitude around it all is trying to compete less with other joiners and actually go, hey, timber joinery is, you know, very, very good all on its own right. Mm. So we're actually trying to make it so that people are choosing timber joinery over aluminium joinery, for example.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
And that's where our marketing and everything is sort of going.
Yep. Staffing issues is something we always get hit up about, and obviously it's a huge problem in any industry. Obviously, your existing clients is a good base. How do you deal with building like a good culture, keeping good guys around, and do you hire off no experience or experience only?
Oh, it just depends where you're at. Yeah, we love experience, especially if you've been doing it the New Zealand way as well. There's a lot of people who know woodworking and, you know, can build and stuff, but doing our niche is quite a rare find. So, our ideal is to have actual experience, ideally working, currently doing that and coming over to us. Or the next one after that is just having a little bit of experience and then we sort of show you the rest. So
yeah, nice. Mm. Was finding QSs hard? I feel like QSs in any industry is always quite hard to find.
You don't find QSs, you train them.
So
we've just taken our guys and turned them into QSs.
Yeah, nice.
Basically, yeah.
How did you look at pricing your first sort of jobs? Like, how did you go about it?
So we purchased the software that was specific for timber joinery.
Yeah,
and
nice.
To be honest, a lot of guys out there are using it, so not everyone.
Mm.
And it's worked really, really well for us. Our first QS, he actually had some experience with us already.
Yeah.
So, and after that, we've been training QSs. And he's turned into a really professional-looking offer that we have.
Yes,
so
sweet.
It's, the software is actually really, really good, and we leverage it as much as we can.
What's the software called?
Woodman.
Woodman. And does it just do literally, like, when you drag, like, a measure over it, does it kind of just give you...
No. It's,
do you measure it in lineal or square meters?
It is like using pre-Windows 95. It is old school, as you have to, like, clink, 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 and type it all in. So it is a bit clunky like that, but what it does is it spits you out an amazing calculation.
Yeah, sweet.
You have all the backgrounds to change, like so all your materials and your what hours you'd put to each item. And then basically you go through, choose a unit and you build it up for what it is. And at the end of it, it spits out the price. And then after that, you can go backwards through to see how it came up with that.
Yep. Do you ever paint Windows joinery here or after install? Last thing to do?
We we'll send it out pre-primed.
Okay, cool.
So we'll do that here.
Yeah.
But then after that it goes to site and it's the site painters.
Yeah. Shoot me if it's a dumb question. Deglazed here or glazed on site?
Either or. Most builders don't want to lift glass.
Yeah,
so
fuck that.
One thing they really want to do, and it's in our guidelines, is to paint the rebates before the glass goes in.
Yeah.
So that actually needs to happen, but to be honest, you want to have the glazing go out of sight without glass. It's easy to install. It goes in. Our glaziers are awesome.
Yes, wait.
They'll come to site, install it. Happy days.
Yeah, nice. So including guys on the ground building and office staff, how many's in the team here?
We will be 14 of... in Jan, so we're 13 now.
Yeah,
got another guy starting in Jan.
Sweet. And what's the goal for 24, 48 months?
To be honest, we've had a few hires this year, and rather than just carrying on growing out of control, the guys that we have, we just need to get really trained up and happy with that. So if you just keep hiring, you're just going to make silly mistakes, and that's not the way forward. So my mindset is to hire a bunch of guys and just let them have some time to
mold into the
role. Exactly, and actually know what our product is inside and out. So we're sort of at the stage now where we want to do that. We just want to get everyone like humming.
Yeah.
Just so they have those incremental increases versus just blowing
small up. Wins every couple of days or every week.
Yeah, 100%.
Who taught you just around like business structure, like hiring? Like, do you have a general manager here, or do you kind of
pretty much me? I think
you figured it out.
No one teaches you anything.
Yeah.
You just kind of think of it as methodically as you possibly can, and what you need to do, and go ahead and set some goals. If you're not setting goals, you're not achieving anything. So I'm always a target-driven type person.
Yep.
So when I was building, what do you want to achieve during the day? Do you want the floor down? Do you want the walls up? Like simple, like stuff like that. But then you go, well, what do I achieve in a month, in 6 months, a year, 5 years? So I've always been quite a goal-driven person. And then now where we're at, we have a five-year goal, and we're working back from that to say, well, if we're going to be here in 5 years, what are all the things we need to achieve to get there?
Yeah.
And then every week we sit down and talk about that.
Yeah. What have you seen in regards to, like, last year, and what's your forecast for this year in regards to, like, busyness, work coming in?
We've been full steam this year.
Yeah, nice.
Which has been great. And we've just been so busy, snowed under. I feel like the last year has been everyone doing renovations.
Yeah.
Definitely the new builds and the developments and the group houses have all died off.
Yeah.
Builders seem to be chasing the same jobs, and they tend to be more renovations.
Yeah.
So lead times on most things have dried up, but not timber joinery, because everything we do hasn't slowed down at all.
Yeah.
There's a lot of noise for next year, so we've got fairly healthy workload coming into next year. There's a lot of stuff still pricing, and a lot of things still happening.
Yeah.
So my hope, I'm banking on it continuing as the same.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I don't think it'll increase. I don't think it'll do anything silly, but
maintain.
I think renovations are still going to be a thing.
Yeah. Yep. You mentioned group home builders there. You've never been asked by, surely not a group home builder. They don't have the budget, eh?
Oh, it's just not what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that type of product. If people want it, then hey, cool, but it tends to have never been that sort of thing. So
sweet.
Most Kiwis have a fairly set mindset, and
nice.
At the moment they are locked. There's a reason why we're 3% of the market, and
I
see it as my job to try and change that.
Yeah, sweet. Do you deliver outside of Auckland?
Yep.
Where's the furthest you've gone?
Palmy
North.
Yep.
Beauty. Did you go down?
Whangarei. We've gone up. No, we did the whole thing on it over emails.
Oh, sweet. That's good.
Just because we do draw everything in CAD, and we do have outstanding joinery schedules that we send out, and we can do remedial work, like changes, because there's always changes in a job, on the joinery schedules, and we can go pretty detailed with that. Mm. And we've done Great Barrier Island.
Yeah,
Rakino,
I saw that
Island.
One actually, yeah. Who was that? Do you know who that was through, Builder? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, I don't.
Okay. I know.
That job there was through the architect, and he was just breaking out onto his own.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So the job's gone really well.
Yes.
So there's lots of back and forth, really good communication. And once we drew up everything that we needed to build, we've made it, we've sent it over, and it's gone in first time.
Yeah, nice. So, how do you deal with, have you ever had any builders sort of come back and kick up a fuss on, this is fucking wrong, that's not right, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, all the time.
Do you guys go out to site and do changes there?
We can do either or that. So, we can definitely do it over email if you want to make a change, and we can tickle things up and send it back to you. We tend on, like, sort of a small or medium-sized job, so we have the one site measure, and once we do that, we, you know, definitely do like to communicate via email, because everything is written down and there is no he said, she said. But then on those bigger jobs, especially with stages, you might go out and you might measure stage 1, stage 2, stage 3.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
And if there's major changes, we can come out and work through those as well. So
yeah,
and redo things.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always find like managing expectations and managing changes, variations is such a killer on all jobs. Like
we had so many problems with that in our early days.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the catalyst for us getting really good at the admin.
Yeah.
And me having so many guys in the office, because if you don't, then you're just chasing your tail.
Yeah.
And you're just making stuff up all the time, and that's what people don't want. So
yeah.
Our goal is to have it right first time, and I know that's an easy thing to say, but we really do try and change things and tickle up our process all the time, just so that we're continually improving it to get to there.
Yeah, and like with leads coming into the office, does each QS or person in the office deal with sort of X amount of jobs each? So it's not like, is it one communal inbox, or does a lead come in and get filtered out to one person? Like, how does that work?
It's a progress in development at the moment, because we've just the types of jobs we've got on at the moment and where our guys are at, but basically there is a communal inbox.
Okay, cool.
And our lead QS is actually running quite a lot of the jobs, so he has less time for it, and our more junior QS is basically he's doing most of it, all the stuff that he feel he can tackle, and then obviously asking lots of questions, and there's a lot of communication between the guys, and that's pretty much how we feather it out. We talk about it every week so we know what's going on. Basically, the moment you make an inquiry, we make a folder, so we start making a folder, we put all the information in there, and it goes from there, because if you keep talking about it, you've got to keep filling up that folder, because if someone's away or you're sick, or naturally we all want a holiday at some stage, you still have all that information there in one hub.
Is there a good company culture with winning work, like sales related? Does anyone have a bell they ring when someone's
We've got a good booze cabinet. I don't know
a
if you've seen
cabinet.
It
yeah.
So a few of the builders have mentioned that when they come in, so
yeah
definitely you've got to have it, like you've got to have a good vibe sometime, and you've got to celebrate the wins, man. There's
100%.
Plenty of times when you know you're doing an uphill battle, so you've got to celebrate the wins.
Yeah It can be tough, eh? I had a couple more I just wanted to go through. Have you ever had, this is a big one, obviously payments and cash flow is a killer for builders in that. Have you ever had to, maybe not threaten, but physically say, hey, I'm going to come take my joinery unit back unless you pay the rest of your invoice?
Nah.
Not quite?
not that. Definitely, that's sort of not my style, but we are full payment before delivery.
Yeah, fair.
So we're 50% deposit.
50% before it hits the truck.
Yeah, well, 50% before we start.
Okay.
So before we come to site and measure.
Yeah.
And then 50% before delivery. Yeah. So that is the main driver where we aren't in that position. We are a supplier. And I know that builders are used to having, you know, payments on the 20th of the following and going through merchant. People can go through the merchant for us if they want.
Yeah.
So that is an option. And then they get their payment terms, but, you know, they obviously pay a margin through the merchant. So, otherwise, we pretty much collect before delivery. So I've got one job at the moment that's out the back that hasn't been paid for and we're not releasing it.
Yeah.
So, and the job's gone.
Terrible. Yeah. Do you see many of that at your level? Obviously, 3% of the industry, everyone's kind of got money at that. Like,
I don't see a lot of it. Sometimes there's, you know, you get a bit of a delay or something, but it always comes through in the end.
Yeah.
I've only ever had one job that's been bad.
Okay.
So
sure, that's not bad.
Yeah, and that's me and the homeowner actually came to an agreement because the builder went bust. So it was very niggly, and I feel for the homeowner and stuff too, but. Thankfully, that's the only time it's happened to us.
Yeah, I feel like every other week there's a liquidation or someone goes bust, and they have no idea the fucking trail effect for that.
Oh, it's massive.
I don't know, we dealt with a few. We've obviously done some cost estimates, and then builders gone bust, and we've had to go, and once they've gone, you know, they're 70% of the way through the job, and it's like, what's it going to cost to finish? And it always is just so much more than what they think. Sorry. In regards, this might be a QS question, rates of timber and stuff over the last year, do you stockpile a lot of stuff here, or where's your main suppliers?
We run a lean shop, so we buy in only what we need when we need it. So we pretty much run stock of all of our standard stuff. So when we start a job, they are just pulling it out of the rack ready to go. if it's job specific, we order it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like internal doors, we have less control over because they are all parts, yep. and all of the parts arrive, and then we assemble it, and it's out the door.
Yes.
Okay. So we do have a lot of people saying, "Oh, you know, where's my stuff?" But it's actually like, well, we're constrained from when you signed it off.
Yeah, true.
To parts arrival. Whereas timber the exterior timber joinery, we just grab it off the shelf and we're into it.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So most of the stuff we have in stock. We run a really good ordering system for our standard stock timbers and hardware and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just basically the ordering and job specific.
Yep. Nice. What's if someone was to put an order in for one window and 12, what's like the average lead times on both units there? Ballpark, no one's going to hold you to it.
Oh, well, we. Well, at the moment, we are chock-a-block till about March, till the end of March.
Yeah, that's
good. So we're just absolutely balls to the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we try and do our best, especially with our regulars, because you do have to look after your regulars.
100%, man. Yeah.
And, you know, we have no... This is one thing I'd really like to get out across to everyone. We have no control over the building jobs that we are involved with time wise. So we can book, we could have the best scheduling structure ever, but actually the five jobs leading up, they could all be delayed into the time where your project is, right? And vice versa. We could have a massive chasm could open up and we could have heaps of work and it all come flowing in and we might need lots of work.
Yeah.
So we don't have a lot of control over what's happening on the building site. So I have tried vigorously to try and get a good pricing structure, a good timeline structure.
Yeah.
But it's hard. That's the hardest part of the job.
Yeah, managing expectations can be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. But for me, we're just slowly and surely building capacity.
Yeah.
So nice. If we can build capacity, that means we have room for you.
Yeah. You're a numbers guy. Obviously, I'd love to know how many windows you delivered on a yearly basis, but how do you look at that as a metric? Like, are you a monthly guy, quarterly, thirds? How do you look at delivery of windows?
We don't really, because the price range is so wildly,
more
you could
of a
do,
revenue focus.
Yeah, you could. Yep. Yeah, definitely more revenue, because you could do like a $1,000 toilet window, and then we could do a 30k front door or massive slider out the back.
Yeah.
And that's not even that expensive. Like we've done more expensive.
What's your most expensive window?
Oh,
or unit?
Probably
people love money, man.
Probably somewhere between 30 and 40k would be an easy one. I don't have one that's on top of my head. I know we've priced heaps. We've priced 60s and 70s.
Haven't won them?
No.
Someone must be winning them though. Or do you reckon they just back out
of
that stage?
And... One of them was a real expensive one. It got dialed right back.
Oh, shit.
So just because they were dreaming.
But, yeah, that's a shame.
We would love to do them. That'd be awesome. So.
How, like, what's your biggest meterage in a door? And how heavy are these things by the time you're finished?
We've done 4 meter high pivot doors, 2 meters wide.
Yes.
Done a 2.5 meter square door last year. So those big pivot doors, you really don't have too many limits.
Yeah.
And they get really heavy. They are obviously hundreds of kilos.
Yeah, how are builders dropping those in? Like frame, no better? Like...
We wave goodbye to them on the truck.
Oh, okay, cool.
We're good to know ourselves. Nah, lots of manpower, really.
Yeah.
So they have steel frames and timber clad and all that sort of stuff. So they are very, very heavy doors. And not a lot of, they might be flat, but they're not a lot of places to hold on to. Yeah. So.
Well, there's a lot of logistics with, I mean, stuff with heights. Like you look at anything. Portal frames or big doors or even bigger kitchen cabinet units or granite bench tops. I'm like, fuck, usually windows and doors are going in once cladding's pretty much done, interior's done, but
sure.
I mean, 100, 200 kg.
So front doors are easier because they're at the front of the house, so if like your big entrance.
Yeah.
So big pivot doors and stuff tend to be the front of the house, whereas your big sliders tend to be around the back. And if you've got a little tight site, that's where it gets interesting. So we can like the big sliders... If you don't have access, we can flat pack it, in which case we'll come to site to assemble, and then you'll be ready to go. So we've had some sliders go right through the, like if it's a villa, right through the front door, down the middle of the hallway, out the back, no problems.
Don't scratch those floorboards, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's middle of the reno, so it's not too bad. So.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
That's all good. Have you had the 2023 staff party yet? Friday, just gone.
Yeah.
Are you always trying to beat it every year? Does it get out of control, or are you guys pretty well behaved? Not for Kevin.
We try and mix it up, to be fair. We used to do the races all the time, but it gets pretty stale. So
yeah,
we've definitely been mixing it up. So I think we had a good one on Friday.
Nice. What's your plans over Christmas and New Year's? Do you take a break, or does everyone two to 3 weeks wrap it up?
Yeah, we do have people coming back on the 3rd of Jan. So we're coming back to a very busy Jan. I'll be back on the 8th. But the wife definitely tells me to stop working over that period, and that's fair enough. I've given enough throughout the year.
Yeah, 100%.
So we'll be down to Hawke's Bay because that's where I'm from.
Yeah,
so.
Good stuff. Where'd you go to school?
St. John's.
St. John's. Oh, we always had top 8 against Napier Boys from the Perth Boys. But all good. Sweet. I've pretty much got all my questions covered. Thanks very much for coming in today, mate. And I'm sure we'll get some comments below and see how we go.
It's good. Thanks, mate. Catch up.
Appreciate Cheers, it, mate. Dude. Legend.